2 Thessalonians chapter 2. As we are in a series of preaching through 1 and 2 Thessalonians, on Sunday mornings we're in chapter 2, and we will just cover four verses, beginning in verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, these two letters, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, they are written concerning the return of Christ. And some had thought that Christ had already came. Some was worried about those who had fallen asleep. So that's why we have these two letters. And our gathering together to Him, we ask you, verse 2, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled. You see, Christ did not bring us a spirit of fear, but a sound mind and peace. And Jesus even told us, let not your hearts be troubled, in John chapter 14. So, not to be soon shaken at every wind of doctrine, every time the breeze blows one way or the other about the return of Christ. You and I, brethren, born-again believers, do not be shaken by every whim of doctrine, every false teaching about the return of Christ. But, he says, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. So, even, you see, not everything that is spiritual is of God. Here in this text, the word spirit is a small s. It's not of the Holy Spirit. So, be very careful who you listen to and stay with the Scriptures. Stay with the Word of God when it comes to the return of Christ or anything, any teaching that they say is of God. You better stay with the Scripture. And it says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, speaking of the return of Christ, will not come unless the falling away comes first. Could that mean church attendance? Could that be a falling away from the truth? Next Sunday or two, Lord willing, we're going to delve in this a little deeper, but there is going to be a falling away. Now, we've been going through Revelation on Sunday nights, and I want to remind you, even during the tribulation, during the very last days of man, before Jesus comes back and sets up His kingdom, there is a lot of worshiping happening. There is a lot of religion. And if you read Revelation, they're worshiping. They're very religious people. But they are worshiping the Antichrist and the beast, the false prophet. So just because it's religious or it's something that man has decided is good, but if it is removed from Scripture, stay away from it. There's going to be a falling away from the truth. And it says, and the man of sin is revealed, or the lawless one, the son of perdition, one that there is one coming that disregards the Word of God, disregards Scripture, the lawless one. The law of God means nothing to the Antichrist. Verse 4. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship. Please underscore that in your Bible. So that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Human philosophy, humanism teaches that you can be God. Humanism defies everything that is of God. That man can improve himself enough that he literally is God himself. That you and I evolved, and eventually we evolved from green goo, turned into fish, turned into animals, to monkeys, and here we are today. And if man continues to evolve, we don't need God. Again, everything that is called God or that is worshiped so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I want to speak with you today on the day of Christ's return and what does the temple of God mean? Where is the temple of God and what is the temple of God? Please turn with me or look on the screen to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Word of God says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Just look there in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. Verses 19 and 20. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I have one more passage. That's in Acts chapter 7. Verse 48, Acts chapter 7, verse 48. "However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things?'" That's a quote from the Old Testament, placed in the New Covenant, the New Testament, speaking of the temple of God. So these passages of Scripture, the teaching of the New Testament, says that you and I have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That you and I, the Holy Spirit of God, dwells in you and I as people of faith, people who have been born again, people who have placed our faith, hope, and trust in the Lordship as in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You've been sealed. You're no longer your own. You've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. So in light of the passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that Jesus is coming back, and before he comes back, the Antichrist is going to set up himself in the temple of God. By the way, the number of the Antichrist is the number of man, 666. And that he will set himself up in the temple of God and defile everything. And that he will actually worship, be worshiped, and want to be worshiped. So your heart, your life, as a born-again believer, God is in you. But listen to a strong passage in Hebrews chapter 10. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews speaks of the heavenly tabernacle and the new covenant, and how the heavenly tabernacle is a symbol. The tabernacle in the wilderness is the symbol and metaphor of the heavenly tabernacle, the new covenant, And Christ offered himself, his blood, in the heavenly tabernacle on your behalf, on my behalf, and you and I enter in the promise made before the law, the promise that God looked at Abraham and accounted righteousness on Abraham's behalf because of faith. And you and I enter this blood covenant that God the Son made in the heavenly tabernacle before God the Father, and you and I enter in by faith. And Hebrews is a letter of the new covenant and how we enter in the covenant by faith. And it's by the blood of our high priest, Jesus Christ. Not blood of bulls and goats that was offered in the Old Testament temple, but by the blood of Jesus offered in the heavenly tabernacle. God tabernacled in the flesh, offered it. You thought you was going to get an ABC today, didn't you? Admit, believe, confess. Let's get in the Word of God, people. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Speaking of the latter days and of the return of Christ. Therefore, brethren, verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, we have access in prayer in the name of Jesus and through Christ because of his blood. Verse 20, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. He died on the cross for you and I, his flesh. Verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God, Jesus is the high priest. No man is the high priest. Jesus and only Jesus. There's one mediator between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus. That's what the Word of God teaches us. Only Jesus. He is our high priest. Verse 22, speaking of the last days and seeing the day approaching, it says, let us hold fast, or let us draw near, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart. Where's the temple? In us. With a true heart and full assurance of faith. You can have full assurance of faith because our faith is in Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done at the cross in offering his blood in the heavenly tabernacle. And we can have full assurance by faith in what Jesus has done and not what you and I can do, because we can't do it. If your faith is in humanism or what you can do, and you're on the throne of your heart, and that Christ and his church is just something that you do once a year, or just something that you relate to, then someone else is on the throne, and it's not Christ, it's the spirit of Antichrist. Wake up. What do you worship? What takes up your time on the Lord's day when you should be in the house of God? Is it the spirit of Antichrist, things that pulls you away from Christ? Or do you put your time and your energy and your love into Jesus Christ? Listen, as we see the day approaching, it says, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. That speaks again the sprinkling of blood in the tabernacle. And our bodies washed with pure water. The Word of God is water, is pure water, it's living. Also, being washed with pure water. Now, Ward 4 water, they had a water break this morning, by the way. It may be mud coming through there for the next day. I don't know. But I promise you this, it cannot wash your sins away. But I promise you this, if Jesus Christ you believe in Him and your life is in Him, then you would jump in that muddy water to show everybody else that you belong to Him. You would want people to know, I belong to Jesus. And a little baby can't do that. A little baby can't do that by faith. But a person that has come to the knowledge that I am lost and I'm done, I'm a sinner apart from Jesus. I am dirty, I'm unclean. My righteousness is but filthy rags. Oh Jesus, wash me with your blood. Sprinkle me with your blood. And that baptism shows what has happened to you. Who's on the throne of your heart? Is it humanistic philosophy, worldly wisdom, or do you want godly wisdom that comes from His Word? Who's on the throne? As you see the day approaching, it says, verse 23, let us hold fast, stand firm, it says, the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. He is faithful. Our faith is in the faithful one. God cannot lie. He is faithful. Verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. You and I should encourage, build up, edify one another. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. By the way, he's talking to the blood-bought New Testament church. This New Testament, every letter was written to the New Testament, blood-bought, shed blood by Jesus' church. And it says, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together. As you see, folks, Jesus is coming back. Wake up. Don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. You can't do it on a softball or baseball diamond. You can't do it on a basketball court. You can't do it on a bass boat. You can't do it on the lake laid up. You can't do it lazy in your recliner laid up in bed. Not forsake yourselves together and to stir up a godly life and the love. You must come and want to be here. It's a part of worship. If you worship Jesus in the temple of your heart, then it would be a second place common thing to come here and worship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Who's on the throne of your heart? Is it self? Do you worship self and not what I want and what I can do and look at me? Or do you want to exalt Jesus? Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as is the manner of some. See, there's going to be a great falling away. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, the return of Christ. Verse 26. For if, everyone say if, wake up. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. You see, God will be righteous in His judgment. He will be righteous. We studied that last Sunday in Thessalonians. Verse 28. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Verse 29. Oh, of how much worse punishment or how much severe punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who sins willfully? And the spirit of Antichrist is in that throne, in that temple. You see, 1 John tells us that there is a spirit of Antichrist. If we sin willfully and reject by faith, how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot. Counted the blood of the covenant. Folks, if you can be righteous any other way, I would tell you. If you could become righteous, if you could attain your way to heaven by human effort, I would tell you. But God's word will not allow me to. If you think you can attain righteousness apart from the blood of Jesus, you've trampled on His blood. You've trampled on the Son of God and the blood He offered in the heavenly tabernacle on your behalf in love. You're doing it willfully. Some of you have sat under gospel preaching for years, and you're just doing this every Sunday, trampling on the blood. Oh, how severe punishment you're going to receive. Trampled on the Son of God underfoot. Counted the blood of the covenant by which He was sacrificed a common thing and insulted the Spirit of grace. That's the only way you can receive salvation is by the grace of God. You've insulted the Spirit of grace if you are a false teacher and try to teach someone else another way. Oh, you need to fall on the grace of God today and quit insulting Him. Verse 30, "For we know Him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord, and again the Lord will judge His people." It is a fearful thing to fall to the hands of the living God. You need to fall in His grace and mercy right now. Do you see the day approaching, folks? Born again believer, you better wake up. You need to get your children in church. They need to be studying God's Word. They need to be in Sunday school. You need to be in Sunday school, mom and daddy. You need to be training your child to love Jesus. And when the Antichrist does come, and if that's what you're worshiping now in your heart, it'll be commonplace to just follow that false prophet and the beast. Because you're doing it now in your heart. Better wake up. Lost person, don't insult God anymore. Let us pray. Oh, Jesus, thank You. Thank You that You're a God of love and grace at this time. And by faith, we can enter in the covenant because of what You have done and the promise that You have done. But Lord, may we take heed, because there's going to be a day, it's approaching, that You will be righteous in Your wrath. God, I pray no one here will experience Your wrath, but that they will fall in grace today and not in Your wrath in the future. God, I haven't promised them anything falsely, that life will be easy if they become a Christian. But God, I did say that You will save them. I did say that. May You have glory in Jesus' name. Amen.